whole nother vibe. Jamal's setting a whole nother vibe for his
word, man. It's a different setup than usual, but
yeah, we got Big G in the house.
We got family in the house, regardless.
Family on both sides. Family getting interviewed, family in the booth.
See, I know these aren't the voices that you expect to hear out the gate when you listen to us, but...
But they familiar with these.
But you know who it is. You know, we got the same people as usual. But yeah, welcome to Over the Shoulder. It's a podcast. We pretty much talk about the creative economy and all the players that are within it. I am one of your co-hosts, Backpack Matt, a.k.a. Mr. Backpack, Mr. SBO. We have an SBO-sponsored event, but I'll wait for the homie BMO to show up. To fully give it the proper announcement that it deserves. I'm joined by my co-host slash the facilitator himself.
My man, my name is Thomas the Great.
Yeah, you're not used to doing the intros, huh?
Yeah, not used to them
it's
at all.
It's all good. We're going
to
work through it. But yeah, so we got a few family members in the room, people who are repeated guests. We got Geronimo sitting to the left of me right now.
Peace. What's going on, people?
Host of the All the Fly Kids show, the legendary All the Fly Kids show, comes on Full Service Radio Wednesdays live at 2 p.m.
Yes, sir.
Right. We also have Dante in the building, a.k.a. Cause and Effects.
He's
eating his crumpet right now.
What's going on, everybody?
Tea and crumpet.
Shit off your face, bro. Get that shit off your face. Get the fuck off the mic, man.
Tea and crumpets.
And we got a special guest in the building who is a family as always, but his first time on the show. Free Alexander.
You.
Government name Ryan Gordon. Overall talented videographer, entrepreneur, artist, etc. So normally we jump into the cold opening. One thing that I didn't get to talk about last week on the show was that Facebook and some of these other social platforms like Facebook and Instagram are testing out removing likes from posted content on their platform. So you, as a person who posts the content, will be able to see, you know, the engagement. So you'll be able to see the likes, you'll be able to see the comments, etc. But people who are just scrolling on their apps or on their interfaces, they'll just see the content, maybe the comments, but likes will be something that's stripped away. And the point of that is to kind of get rid of the stigma that's been added to doing things for likes and the negative things that come with that. Social status that's tied to social media, so on and so forth. So I just wanted to, since I'm in a room full of creatives who thrive off of posting content and wanting to get engagement off of that content, how does that affect you? How do you feel about that?
Well, I'll say that I am all for it.
Me too.
Mostly because, I'm fine, especially with like Instagram. Instagram's becoming really, really homogenous. In terms of like the type of content, the type of post that you see from people.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of people posting a picture of themselves in front of, you name it, backdrop, whether it's you are out of town somewhere or you're at some event or whatever the case may be. But, me being the person I am, it's just like, okay, well, I know what everybody look like. I want to know what it is that you're seeing, what it is that you're engaging with, you know, and for whatever reason, the photos that get the most likes are the ones where you are in the picture.
Right.
Yep. When you post things like whatever you see that you're seeing, you think is dope. You know what I mean? Like you could post a picture of a shoe, right? Now, if you post a picture of yourself with the shoes on, you get more likes on that than you would of the picture of just the shoe itself.
Yo, if you got a dog in the photo too.
Right.
Like white women love that shit apparently.
So
photos?
I just wonder what's going on in human psychology that causes people to like pictures of people more so than of like objects, inanimate objects, things like that. But
maybe empathy, being able to see yourself in it.
Yeah, judging yourself, I would think so.
But then also on the negative side of it, a lot of people it affects people negatively because they're like, oh man, I don't ever go nowhere. I don't do anything fun. My life is so mundane.
Right.
I just go to work and go bowling on the weekends.
Yeah.
So
cool.
I think if only people that could see engagement are the people who post it, that at least lets you know still people are seeing it.
Right.
Those added likes, aren't giving you this like false sense of validation your content is worthy because you've got 1,000 likes on it or something like that. I mean, even for myself, like the most likes I've ever gotten on a picture is like 175, and that's because it was a picture.
But you remember that shit though.
Yeah, and that was a picture I posted with me and Rosario Dawson at Essence Festival this past summer. But prior to that, the most likes I've seen maybe like just over 100. You know, okay. And I was definitely in the picture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Did my man casually drop Rosario Dawson in the comments? Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, what it took for me, what Rosario it took for me to there. Get that many likes right, on the picture. Right, right, right. You know what I mean? You. So, and, you know, if it had been a much more popular, more well-known celebrity, I would have gotten even more than that, you know?
Well, I think you touch on a big point, which is the influencer economy that kind of sprang up as a result of likes and follows and metrics being publicly displayed in terms of how the content certain users posted was performing. And so with influencer economy and the influencer culture, people can say whatever they want about it, but mm-hmm. a lot of it has been corrupted in the sense of it's not pure influence anymore. It's sponsored influence, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Money being funneled into different accounts, fake engagement. So the purity of, fake you know, engagement. People just liking photos for the sake of the photo being really dope or, the, mm-hmm. you know, has kind of gone away. So
yes.
And I still think, just to wrap this part up, I feel like it could still be beneficial to whoever are actual influencers who make money and generate revenue in this creative social economy, because you still get the metrics. You just don't publicly display that.
Right.
So you can still be able to, you know, develop your portfolio, get your statistics together and pitch that to whatever agency or entity that's going to fund that. It's just, you know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, the impact is still the same. You just don't see it. From the outside looking in.
Well, I just wonder if you're selling a product, though, thinking again, going back to human psychology, that subconscious is like, well, I don't, maybe perhaps say if you're selling the product for a particular company that you've partnered with,
yeah.
You know, maybe if a viewer sees, okay, this has 1,000 likes on it. So that means subconsciously I'm told like, okay, I'm going to buy this product,
right.
You know? So if you don't see any likes, right. You know, how would that affect a person's inclination to buy something or engage with something, like listen to something or whatever the case may be, whatever it is that you're promoting, you know? I just wonder how that would affect. Would it be a negative or positive effect? Would people be more inclined because they're like, well, I think this is dope, you know, and no one's going to be able to see, especially now you could sometimes see like maybe a couple people that you follow like a certain picture that right. of somebody that you follow as well.
Oh, yeah, but that's more organic. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? Like, the I forget what page that is on Instagram, but just like, you know, the two...
Discover.
The Discovery page.
I was
so like,
say Explore.
No.
Two Degrees of Separation, yeah. The Explore page and stuff like that.
No, not Discover page. Like, on your actual feed, and you just happen to be following the same person that somebody else, you know, and you can see...
I see that on Twitter and
like,
shit
you know,
like that, yeah.
You see, like... 100, and then you'll see two names
oh,
that you
yeah.
know,
right.
something like
got
that.
You.
So
you.
I'm just curious how that would affect the removal of likes.
Making, yeah.
How would that subconsciously affect people's inclination to purchase or engage with a product or service?
Yeah,
I don't know. I guess the optimist in me would say that would now make the action that the consumer takes more organic.
Mm-hmm.
So like if they like. You know, some people, they don't like to be part of the, how can I say this? They don't like to be part of the groupthink type of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So if they see a whole bunch of people buying it, they might not buy it.
They're going to be anti, yeah,
right.
automatically
or,
push back.
You know, now in this, without that element, maybe they'll just buy it just because, like, oh, that's a dope product,
yeah.
I'm gonna buy it.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't like to be first, too.
Right.
A lot of people like the groupthink. It's right. like, well, I see a bunch of other people doing it, so it's cool, it's okay to die, because they don't want to be that early adopter.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'd rather be the people to pick up on it once it's been endorsed by the early adopters, mm-hmm. the influencers. But, you know, that big chunk of people who finally catch on to it, that's like 70% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, all right, let's move away from that. Let's go run through some of these segments. First off,
moving
with
right
the
along.
Word of
the day.
Sponsored by dictionary.com. Not really, y'all niggas should sponsor us for real, though.
Yeah,
the word of the day is coalesce, nigga.
Coalesce.
Coalesce.
How do you spell that?
Coalesce.
Oh, what?
Coalesce.
My man, remixing the voice.
Getting nasty with it. Hey, so coalesce, coalesce. This is a verb used without object. To unite so as to form one mass, community, etc.
Mm.
Sounds similar
Example,
to cohesion.
Coalition.
The various
coalition.
Groups coalesced into a crowd. See, I love it when the mac and cheese and the yams just coalesce on a plate. You know what I mean? It just creates a type of euphoria that I can explain on the podcast.
Few intelligent cheese. Brothers have coalesced into the same room. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Geronimo be saying all this shit, but you can't use coalesce in a sentence. Come on, bro.
I mean, I know what coalesce means. You know, I like to flip it and give people the layman's terms.
I know what it means.
Like I do. I know what all the SAT words mean. I do. You know, I scored the highest on like you know the reading and writing portion of the SAT.
Good for you.
You know,
I can't believe it.
You know, I can't add for nothing. But you know, anyway. Coalesce. It's like mashing it up. You know, mashing. As the people in the Caribbean say, mash it up.
Mash it up.
All right, I'll take that. That's bonus points.
You know.
Yeah, okay. Hit us with the synonym shit. And shit. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I just want to make sure everybody can understand. You know. That's all. You know.
Word.
Break it down for the people.
All right. Yeah. So let's bring in our actual like guests into this. Hey, Ryan. What's up, bro?
What's up, man?
Free Alexander. Himself.
Free bro. My man Alex.
I gotta say, I'm super excited that this podcast is happening because I came up with the name.
Facts. That is a good point.
What? Oh, wow.
He's one of the people who came up with the name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were we lit when that happened?
I don't think so. we weren't in the same location.
It was me.
Yeah, you texted me.
And then I made some cover art that you didn't like after that.
Yeah, that escaped my brain. But
that's really cool, man. You're doing it.
It's like two different origins at the same time that kind of happened on coincidence. Mm-hmm. Like Ryan was like, yo, you know, you should start up a new podcast. This is when you had went to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And I was like, just not doing one. So he was like, you should do it something. I was like, well, I don't know what to call it. He was like, related to something with a backpack. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be a backpack. So it's like, where's the backpack straps go? Over the shoulder.
Right.
So he threw that out. And I was like, yo, that could actually be something. At the same time, we were at Copycat,
right?
Tom and I, off 8th Street in D.C.
Watching
Chris paint the wall. Shout out to Hey Lil, Lydia. Definitely. Lydia was there too. But yeah, so
soon to be guests on the show.
Yeah, so Tom was taking over the shoulder shots of me while I was filming and getting footage of Chris. So he was like, when we kind of brought the two ideas together, it made the most sense because it was like, not just you wanted to, in the literal sense, shooting over the shoulder, talking to creatives who do things in frame content and in terminology used like over the shoulder, but also eavesdropping in on conversations, being over the shoulder of the creative as like facilitators and curators to kind of let them know and guide them and give them advice over their shoulder and not necessarily being in the forefront. So
it all coalesced now, didn't it?
It all came into this, man. Yes. So, yeah. And because in Geronimo, the last episode of All the Fly Kids before he moved to New Orleans, BMO pulled up and was one of the guests on the show. Mm-hmm. And so after that session, Mikkel was there too. Shout out Mikkel. Me and BMO was like, yo, you know, I reached out to BMO. I was like, yo, when I do a podcast, I want to definitely get you involved with that. So shout out to major players being in the building today, man.
Look at that.
Yeah. But so
it all comes together.
So Free Alexander, like, tell me how the brand kind of started, what was the motivations behind it, and more importantly, what it is, because I really want this to be a sports filled episode today. Okay. So yeah,
I love it. Free Alexander is a combination of two things. One is my middle name, which is Alexander, and Free, which is basically all the media stuff that I do, taking pictures, making videos for people. It makes me feel like my best self, the most appreciated. And I just felt like when I put the two words together, that it kind of flowed.
So you became Free Alexander.
I did. I did. But the thing is, I didn't start to get my Instagram page kind of popping until like a year ago. That's when I really started like grinding. But I made the name when I was in undergrad. Like in 2010 or 11, something like that. So it was something I was kind of sitting on, messing with, and then now it's a thing, sort of.
So last night, where were you at?
Last night, I was at the Mystics game. They were playing the Connecticut Sun. Game two of the finals. It was lit in there. Shout out to Southeast for having that amazing arena.
Yeah, I was like, the Mystics are tied with Connecticut. I forget.
Connecticut, yes.
1-1. So we were expecting to go up 2-0, but Elena Deladon got injured. But you were courtside shooting and working with Monumental and the Entertainment Sports Arena over there in Southeast. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to dive into the interview, but first I want to knock out my In the Bag segment. But I wanted to introduce you first so you can give me some input
sure.
on what this In the Bag is about. you know, because I think it ties into what we're doing for the next episode.
Oh, I know where you're going.
So in the bag, so it's October 2nd. This will drop probably tomorrow. So California and Florida signed new measures to allow collegiate student athletes to generate revenue off of their own likeness, commercial deals, shoe deals, etc. This is going to take into effect 2023 for California and next year, 2020 for Florida. So basically, college athletes can sign endorsement deals and hire agents. Mm-hmm. This is a quote out of New York Times. Under the California measure, thousands of student athletes in America's most populous state will be allowed to promote products and companies trading on their sports renown for the first time. And although the law applies to only California, it sets up the possibility that leaders in college sports will eventually have to choose between changing the rules for athletes nationwide or barring some of America's sports powerhouses from competition. Mm. I want to reel off a few more points. So the NCAA currently generates on average $14 billion per year off collegiate athletic programs alone.
Yeah.
Student athletes get nothing until they leave collegiate programs and hire agents with the goal of going pro. Now, you know, you can debate the nothing. Some people say you get a full scholarship. You know, there's a fine line there because the school gives a scholarship, et cetera, et cetera. The NCAA can still profit off the likeness of these students even after they leave. So still selling their jerseys on campus, usually without their name on the back. Mm-hmm. And these students, even after they become out of the collegiate system, still do not earn revenue off of those jerseys that are sold in those student unions in the middle of campus.
Yeah.
Off day number, though.
Right. So only a fraction of the student athletes actually turn professional. So, you know, these student athletes coming up in college will be able to start YouTube pages and be able to monetize off of that. There was a student athlete who was his eligibility was removed, I believe, a few months back because he had a YouTube page that was, you know, bringing in revenue. I think he was playing football or basketball. So with these measures in place, that student athlete would be able to still monetize off of his or her or their likeness and still remain able to play college sports. So with that being said, what are some of the potential benefits and issues when it comes to student athletes being able to sign endorsement deals?
Well, it's definitely a couple things. One, this is super exciting. What's up? Is this BMO?
Yeah, it's BMO.
What's up, man?
BMO done walked in the building. What's up, fam?
On nigga time.
I'm Ryan.
Almost on African
on
time.
On real nigga time.
Yeah, yeah. Real nigga time. I mean, you want to fill them in?
You were talking about what I texted about. So the measure in California and Florida to allow student athletes to earn revenue and hire agents and sign endorsement deals off their likeness.
Word. So I think this is huge because, first, I didn't know that the NCAA is a nonprofit. I found that out.
That's what they're registered as?
Yeah. Mm. Once I found that out, I was like, this is the biggest swindle in,
right.
in history. Like, outside of slavery, I'm thinking it's, like, at least top three.
Wow. Top three?
It's got to be top three.
NCAA slavery Tuskegee experiment?
I would put NCAA probably at three.
Okay, three?
Yeah.
All right. That's an interesting combo.
There's validity with that.
That's wow. That's
prison
real,
industrial though. Complex? No.
Yeah, prison, school to prison pipeline. That's top five. That's definitely top five.
Anyway, yeah, you were saying?
Go ahead.
Come back to us.
But this is huge because just being on, are you guys familiar with the Nike EYBL circuit?
No.
Elite
Youth Basketball League. It's
okay,
where all the
I know
top,
a little something. Just that was that one fact. For
you guys know AAU basketball.
Of course, of course.
You have different clubs and stuff like that. Well, EYBL is the top AAU programs all play each other throughout the summer. And something I found out when I was traveling with Kevin Durant's AAU team is that these kids are rock stars. Like, on social media, like, they're, like, mini celebrities. And it just sucks to know that they have this huge platform even before they get to college. And they won't be able to do anything with it.
Like, in college.
In college. And really not ever. Unless you go pro somewhere, which is really hard to do. Because, as you know, a fraction of athletes get
actually turn professional.
To do that.
And that's just professional. That's not professional in the States.
Yeah.
That's professional worldwide.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I think this is going to be huge. I think it's definitely going to be a game changer. And also, it'll influence where these players are going to end up going. Because, as you know, like for basketball, well, you may not know, but there's a top tier of schools that athletes want to go to because they know they're going to get some sort of
the
exposure.
Blue chip programs.
Right. So, like
Kentucky, Duke, Kansas.
Kentucky, yeah. All that stuff. And I feel like if kids are smart, which they're really starting to become, I might go to a school in, where was it, Florida?
Yeah.
Like, just because I know I can make money off myself. And there's so many ways to make money now with Instagram and all these different platforms, YouTube and stuff like that, that it'll really shift.
So, revolutionize.
What do you think this will do to the concept of amateurism and being a college student athlete? Like, will this cause more student athletes in basketball to consider the G League, go overseas, or if knowing that they're going to get a check, even if they still play for Duke or even if it's like Weber State or whatever, yeah, or Alabama, like, will that actually keep players in the collegiate system longer? Because one issue that the NCAA has always dealt with, especially with basketball, mm-hmm, is the one and done policy that was set in place maybe like, feels like 10 years ago. Before that, you can go straight out of high school.
Yeah.
But then it was like, no, you need 1 year of amateurism, or you need to be at least 19 years old before you can, you know, get drafted.
Word.
So what do you feel like this will cause, maybe a positive ripple effect against what the NCAA is fearing in terms of student athletes actually wanting to stay and come to college because they know they could still create streams of revenue and not be kind of hindered by that?
That's a good point.
I think as cliche as it sounds, it's like it could go either way for real, because you see kids now going against the grain and not even trying to go to school. Like,
right,
LaMelo's over in Australia.
Yep, I'm about, that's
this
my
one
next
kid.
Topic.
One kid with a New Balance deal.
Yeah, with the New Balance,
I was gonna
deal.
Say that.
Like,
yep.
So people are already breaking the system, and I don't even think kids really want to go to college anyway, so it doesn't matter if I can make a couple cents, you know, off these jerseys if I can go get a contract somewhere else and get some real money.
Right, you for some, I mean? You know, because, yeah, you know, only a certain few, like, there's still competition out there in the rest of the world. It's not like all of our talent is just going to start going overseas to start playing for these professional programs like you saw LaMelo have to do just out of losing his eligibility, but we'll talk about that later. But, you know, you still have these major teams with these major legendary coaches,
mm-hmm,
with these endowment funds, with the bag, with, and also you got the backup of having a, getting a degree out of it. So,
right,
I don't know. It's just some things to consider.
How much money are we talking when it comes to actually selling your likeness? Is that really a piece of the pie?
Yeah, I
is
want
that
to
a piece
know
of the
more
actual
information about what percentage the they're actually are getting.
Because how many college jerseys have you? Yeah, yeah, yeah. What is the protocol on making money off your likeness?
I don't think it's going to change them selling your jerseys. I think they're still going to sell your jerseys, and you probably won't get bread off of it. But like LaMelo, when he was still in high school, LaMelo Ball, who's this, like, child prodigy, basketball prodigy for nobody, for the people who don't know who are listening, when he released the shoe, it kind of forfeited his amateurism because he was generating revenue off of that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he wasn't able to go to college. So I'm saying, like, in these circumstances, Duke might still sell their jerseys, but you could still sell whatever you want off your likeness.
Gotcha. You could do your own thing.
You could, niggas can't even make their own shirts and sell them, make their own gear. You know what I'm saying? You're kind of just hands tied behind your back when you're in college as a collegiate athlete. You can't do shit. You can't even have a YouTube page and have monetization off that.
That's crazy. But I wonder, though, this is just the jealous motherfucker inside of me.
I wonder, though,
yeah, okay, you're allowing me to get my own bag.
Right.
But when can I start getting some of your bag, though?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's the...
So is this measure really a countermeasure to prolong that process of maintaining amateurism?
I think it's a good leverage point because it's look, you know what I'm saying? If y'all don't want to fuck with me, I don't have to be there. I can go ahead, I can do...
You can go anywhere.
Yeah, you know, I can, you know, you're seeing these other athletes finding more alternative ways. And that's creating a check and balance. And now that these athletes, if they wanted to, I'm not saying all these student athletes are going to be successful at that shit either.
Right.
That's a good point. You know what I'm saying? Some of them field hockey players might not get lit off.
Ain't going to be no sun. Them field hockey players ain't going
to
get no.
But it's something to consider. You know what I'm saying? In this capitalistic society, it's interesting that the NCAA is like one of these institutions that seem to have logic that goes against capitalism.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So you want these people to work for free for like, or for the, at the very least, $40,000 a year for a scholarship?
Man.
But yeah.
Yeah, we know why. We know
I digress. LaMelo Ball, right?
Yeah.
LaMelo Ball is a child prodigy, the youngest of three sons of LaVar Ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's had an interesting trek to where he is now. His older brother, second round pick, second pick in the NBA draft about 3 or 4 years ago, to the Lakers. LiAngelo Ball had his issues. He got signed to UCLA, but then he stole some shades out of a Louis Vuitton store in China.
In China.
Wild, bro.
And the president had to come get
never to be seen again. And and now you have
not playing ball no more?
You have LaMelo. Now, he's probably
working AutoZone. Probably doing something. Yeah.
AutoZone.
He don't work AutoZone.
The last thing I heard was that he was trying to get in the G League. He was trying to get in the G League for the next round of tryouts. So we're going to see. But LaMelo is the youngest one, and because of LeVar, who was very strong in terms of pulling LaMelo and LiAngelo out of high school and into a Lithuanian team, forfeited his college eligibility. So, you know, LiAngelo Ball, who's this child prodigy, put up, like 92 points in a game when he was, like, a sophomore in high school or some shit like that.
Yep.
Is now playing in Australia,
cooking
and
killing
it, and is potentially a top five, maybe top pick in the NBA. So, I know you shot him in terms of video and photography when you.
Man, who haven't you touched?
Exactly. So, just talk to me about like some of those experiences of shooting some of like of America's up and coming like superstars.
Yeah, well, that particular story is actually a funny one. Getting a phone call. From someone I don't know. It's funny because I found out he was coming to town probably like 2 or 3 days before I shot him. And a friend of mine who's a photographer who actually helped me start working with Kevin Durant's AAU team came with me, bought tickets, and didn't know how I was going to get on the court when I got there because I didn't have a media pass. So drive down there, walk through the door. And as soon as I walked into the arena, I was like, come on, we're going on the floor. We walk on the floor, go get a spot on the baseline where everyone's already lined up waiting for him to come out. And it's cool until the guy who was in charge of media walks over and does like a sweep just to check to see who has their media passes.
Uh-huh.
And the first sweep that he did, he didn't see us because I like turned my back and was like, yo, look this way. And we were good.
I love it.
We were good until, you know, he started warming up and then the baseline started filling up a little more because LaMelo is also a child star and it's just crazy energy. But then we finally got caught and the guy's name was Nate and I was like, what's up? And he was like, are you supposed to be here? I was like, well, I'm filling in for this guy who's not here. He didn't tell you? And he was like,
one of those moves.
Yeah, he was like, nah. He didn't tell me, so what am I supposed to do in this situation? I was like, well, what's your name? And he was like, Nate. And I was like, look, Nate, what can we do here? I drove over an hour to get here, and I'm here.
He was like, pity card.
Yeah.
Nah, he was straight like, up. That's straight up.
He was like,
I mean, true.
Yeah.
He was like,
all right.
Is she with you? I was like, yeah, she with me. I'm going to go get y'all some passes.
Mm. Oh.
And I was like, bet.
Wow.
And it's crazy. It's crazy.
Clap it up for them. Clap it up.
Right? Right. So we got the passes. And
riveting.
It's all coming full circle. So we got the passes, and afterwards he was like, whenever you want to come to the arena, just let me know.
Mm-hmm.
And
he spoke to him like a man.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Real nigga.
So we got in there. All that to say, LaMelo Ball is the real deal. I wasn't convinced because I don't like social media hype.
Right.
Especially around basketball stuff, because you can have one good play and then go D1 just because of that one good play and not be good. But I have never seen a child under the age of 17 score so effortlessly in a game in my life. That game he finished with 30 points, 12 rebounds, and like 11 assists, something like that.
It was arguably the third best player on that team.
Yeah.
What?
And he was cooking. So I am not surprised that he is going to be a top draft pick.
30 points.
And I'm
shook right now. What do you mean? Yeah. Like, what you're saying right now is like, what? Are you telling me this? Are you telling me if this was 10 years ago, this thing could go straight to the league? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, actually, I don't know, because the league was different back then. Right now,
very different.
The way the league is now, you have to be able to score and you have to be able to set other people up to score.
Yeah.
And back then, it was more like you were a specialist at one thing. Right? Yeah. And he's like 6'7".
Shit.
Guard
Six,
can
seven?
Shoot the lights out even though his shot is ugly, and he can create. His vision is crazy.
He can shoot a floater from the 3-point line.
Yo.
So
yeah, this is crazy.
The hype is warranted, but I think it was delayed because of all the stuff with his dad, because every sports network like hates him just because he was so vocal about his kids. But he's been a star since like middle school.
You've been beautiful with the segue. So I wanted to talk, touch on LeVar Ball.
Yeah, as greatest black father of the century. Go ahead.
So yeah, so how do you feel about when you see LeVar and you hear his comments and you see the moves that he makes? Mm-hmm. And this is for everybody. Like, what do you garner from that? What do you feel like has worked? What do you feel like hasn't worked? And how do you relate that to your relationship with father figures?
Yeah.
In your life, in terms of assisting you and helping you build up in your creative path or your professional path?
I think he's genius in the fact that he recognizes that being outspoken about something can really benefit you in a number of ways. You can say the most outlandish thing and put it on video, and if it gets enough
traction,
attention, like, you can be the man. Yeah. What I don't like is when you have a platform like that and you don't use it to the best of your ability. Like, when you start talking about other people's kids and putting people down, like, I don't really like that. But if you're just there to hype up your kids and be, like, unapologetic about that, great. And you can get some traction for your business and your personal stuff, awesome. But whenever you throw someone else under the bus, I'm not really with that. Mm. And relating it to father figures, you said?
Yeah.
I think...
how your father talks to you.
Yeah, my dad motivates me. I don't think he would be nearly as outspoken as that because, as you know, he kind of keeps to himself. But just seeing someone being so excited about seeing their kids play and so confident in what they can do, like, knowing that you have someone in your corner like that is, like, unmatched. Slight segue, yesterday when I was at the Mystics game, there's a star player on the Connecticut Sun. Her name is Courtney Williams, mm-hmm. and she's been terrorizing the league this past season. And the whole shtick is, like, her dad is, like, her biggest supporter ever. I got a lot of video footage of him. I can show you guys later. But he is so happy whenever she's on the court, like, yelling and screaming and just being so excited and supportive that news outlets have picked it up and, like, written about him, just showing how influential a dad can be on your confidence. Because, like, nice. She's killing it. And I can only think that a lot of that has to do with just her support system.
Right.
And
right.
a lot of kids don't have that, especially ones playing basketball. They don't know their dads.
No, that's not fair.
Facts.
Not all of them. Not all of okay. them, but I'm just saying, like,
you know, they play basketball. They don't know their dads.
Interesting. Nah,
but
point.
Yeah.
So I know, BMO, you said, like, you're a huge advocate
for LeVar. Oh, man, I love LeVar Ball, man. Matter of fact, if you do have a relationship with your father, do yourself a favor, call your father and ask your father if he thinks you can beat Michael Jordan one-on-one. Mm. My dad was like, I mean, here's the thing, son. I think if you practiced, yeah, I think you could beat him now. Like, I don't, but you know, I don't. And then I just think it's really cool. It's refreshing. What am I trying to say? Sports media has always had a fascination with black fathers. Right, it's always been a cool thing.
Tiger
to
Woods,
you got the Tiger Woods father, you got the Williams fathers,
Jordan.
You got like Jordan. You got all these famous basketball fathers, these famous pairs: Ken Griffey Jr. Senior,
Dale Curry
Jr. Senior, Ken Griffey Senior. Goodness yeah. gracious, Dale Curry. All these things. North. I just find it interesting that LeVar is getting this weird black ball because he seems to be the wrong type of nigga to be running his mouth. Like we can deal with the respectable black man, we can deal with the outspoken black man on the court, but when you bring that into a more charismatic presentation, I guess it just doesn't bode well.
Yeah.
One thing I thought was really interesting, and I don't know if they created this moment for content, but I did see that LeVar called, what's that boy's name? What's number two
Lonzo,
name?
Lonzo.
Lonzo. Called him. Yeah, what did he call him? Called him? Was it washed up? Oh, damaged goods.
Damaged goods.
Damaged goods. Called him damaged goods.
That was a very interesting
moment. And I was like,
I didn't know about that.
That's interesting because if you research some of the YouTubes on LeVar Ball, he's always said that Melo was
going to be the best.
Yeah, he's going to be the best.
Going to be the best of them all.
The one who's struggling is the one who was going to be struggling.
Middle child.
And then Lonzo would be the second best. So I find it interesting now that Melo is coming out. And it seems to be the better product. I'm very interested to see what that supporter looked like on the side of LeVar to...
Younger siblings tend to get it easier anyway, though, because, like, you know, that first son, you know, that's your... you know, you putting all... You putting, whether it's right or not, you putting all your dreams on that one. you know, you,
on the younger one,
on the first one,
yeah,
on
that's
the,
true. That's
you know,
true.
The middle kid, you know, after you know, it's like
they don't reach it. There's disappointment and shit.
There's a hold know, on. Do y'all have siblings?
Yeah. I have a younger
brother.
I'm the brother. Baby. So
you the baby?
I have a younger brother.
Oldest. You the oldest?
Yeah. I'm the oldest. I have a younger brother.
I'm the only. All right.
Yeah. All right. Oh, the only.
Yeah, yeah. It was a sad
you
day.
You make a
when
whole lot
out.
More sense now.
Sad day when
but
I
but because,
out.
You know, as the oldest, because you normally are first through all everything, like yeah. you take all the arrows for the most part.
Mm.
And so the younger kids usually get to see how you move and they get to see how their parents move. You know what I mean? So
and
they
learn
don't,
from
they
everything.
Yeah, they don't just have like a 25 to a 40 year gap between like me and, you know, the next person who looks like me. Like my little brother is an 8 year difference. He can see 8 years ahead,
yeah,
like where I'm at as a benchmark.
Lucky
you
bastard.
Know? So
yeah, yeah.
I think that stuff definitely has a play in it. So
I don't know. For me, I feel like LeVar. I almost wanted to call Lonzo the father. LeVar, I take him like we're all saying here. I take him to be kind of like the best of both worlds. Like him and his bravado and how he marketed his boys. It's almost like he stood in front of them. In a sense,
yeah.
right?
He took mm-hmm. he took the arrows for him so that they wouldn't
right.
have. He'd be the bad guy so that they.
Because, like, let's say he wasn't in the picture and they were doing the same thing, all those arrows would be coming towards them.
Not mm-hmm. really, though, because if you look at, like, the Holiday brothers in the NBA,
okay,
there's about three of them in the NBA. You don't hear shit about them, but they win it. Drew Holiday is a potential MVP,
right.
Front runner for the seasons for the Pelicans. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe.
So you get maybe yeah, okay. as a defensive player, you know. But
yeah,
I'm saying,
yeah,
like,
say MVP.
You don't need
defensive.
You don't necessarily need pops to be up front, especially if I'm a grown ass man at this point and you've raised me up to this point.
Well, I wonder if that's the strategy you got to take when the second best is coming first.
What do you mean?
Elaborate. I wonder if like you have to talk that shit. To get, if you know, and it seems like LeVar is very honest about the recognition of skills within his son, right?
Yes.
If you know that the youngest son is going to be popping, he's going to need a platform to stand on. That means the second youngest son's got to be at least good. So how do I take? And I don't know. We'll see how Lonzo goes, but Lonzo to me is like a C plus
yeah.
B minus player.
Yeah,
he's about
right?
to terrorize the league.
Who?
Lonzo.
Terrorize what?
He changed his jump shot.
He changed his jersey, nigga. That's the only thing that. Well,
nah,
we're going to see.
He changed his jump shot.
I will believe it when I see it on the floor. I've seen the footage.
He's the perfect.
He just
player
I'm a Lakers fan,
league.
Bro. I've seen this nigga work out with them shots every offseason for 2 years.
Bruh.
You're a Lakers fan?
Yes.
Different. That's unfortunate.
Yes. Who are you a fan of?
Oh, my God.
I just. I'm a fan of the game. I'm not even going to say.
Niggas can't even pick sides. Talking about me.
I'm a fan of the game, nigga.
Niggas can't.
Take a stance, Tom.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What I was saying, though, was like, I wonder if. You know, I'm a wrestling fan. I wonder if you know you have an inferior product that you got to step the marketing up. That much more.
You gotta
be on.
So Lonzo's inferior now. You really hating on
to Melo? Fuck. I mean, yeah. I mean, let's just be honest about it. I mean, it seems like Melo is going to be a better player than Lonzo. It almost seems like Lonzo is in agreement of that. So I'm thinking about it in terms of like creative, and I'm thinking in the creative field. If I am like a label owner, if I am like an A&R, and I have two artists, and I'm forced to put out the shitty one first. Then yeah, I gotta make a big ass name for everybody. So by the time the best person come on,
right. Oh,
we really winning.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm trying to think. Has there been an instance of that in the game?
Yes. Well, they came out in the same year, but
give me a clue.
Blake Griffin, his brother. His brother also played for Oklahoma. Older brother.
Oh yeah,
nearly as talented. You remember that?
I forgot about that.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know that nigga. I'm thinking even like creative wise. Has there ever been a situation where someone was forced to put out a shitty product first, and then they followed it up with something way better?
I got an example. I wouldn't say it's a shitty.
Or is it
product,
the other way around?
But
like I was thinking the same.
When TDE first came to market with J-Rock, it didn't pop, even though
boom.
It was talented, right?
Boom.
But you know, a few years later, you know, now you come out
Kendrick.
With Kendrick, and you got Schoolboy opening up for him, and
then J-Rock can come back.
J-Rock came back. So.
See what I'm saying? About
that's
12 years,
right
Lonzo Ball is going to be real popping. I'm telling you.
For the whole
12 years. Write it down. Football will be off a major.
He's going to average 8, 6, and 4.
Oh, yeah, like, nah, it's gonna journey. Be 10, 10, and 7. I'm 10, telling 10 you, man. It's gonna be like some. It's gonna be washed Rondo numbers. That's what it's gonna be in 12 oh, years.
12.
He's gonna be a respect. I mean, he's gonna be a respectable player. He's
you are really doing on the boy. Come on, now.
I'm not. Look, I'm not. Look. You agree? You gotta call a spade a spade. He's good.
I just he see for me,
who?
Me and
C plus.
All right, let's not
me and my psychology, right?
Yeah,
I just don't think he has the same temperament as his father.
Yeah, like, temperament like
he's
does
not
he have that extra
like
gear
the same way
like,
we talk about
shit.
Mike and LeBron, right? Mike had the killer instinct.
All right, yeah, we opening up shit.
I'm not.
We got like 5, 6 minutes left.
I'm not even.
You gotta bring a pack. We just gotta do this every 2 months or so. Just bring Ryan and just have a sports conversation. All right, let's get some of this other shit out the way.
What else we got?
All right, so balancing the creative hustle with jobs, like you still work, you have a career, you have a job, but you
proud,
really have
man.
Your passion towards. Or you don't necessarily call it career. You have a job, and you also have a passion, which you generate revenue from.
Yeah.
But you got to balance both right now. And you're recently married. Congratulations.
Thank you. Appreciate
so how
that.
Are you handling that, you know, mentally, emotionally? What, you know, processes do you have in place to stay on top of your game?
Yeah. So right now, I feel like I'm kind of a transitionary period where I'm really trying to shift to being a full-time entrepreneur. Well, really creative. But luckily with this job that I have now, it's completely remote. And they don't give me a lot to do.
Remote life is nice.
Like, at all. So,
wow.
Most of my time is...
What job is this? Let me apply, please.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got a raise.
There
I got
is.
A raise,
hey,
too.
Hey, congratulations,
thanks.
Brother.
See, man, by the time I quit the career field, there wasn't no motherfucking remote jobs. Right, nigga. You came to work and you didn't.
Yeah, facts.
So, I mean, there's...
Tight right now. Salty right now.
So, I have time...
It's not too late, bro.
I have time to practice, you know, my craft.
Yeah.
Like a lot of time. So it's really not really a balance right now. Right now, as I said, I'm in a transitionary period. I'm really trying to just study and really learn.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, what you studying?
Lighting.
Okay.
If you know anything
about I want you to get as specific as possible.
Okay, cool. If you know anything about cameras, all of them function the exact same way. Pretty much. We have a special guest at the door.
Oh. Shout out Elise.
Hey.
With the boxing shorts.
OTS
boxing
family.
You look great.
You
look fantastic.
Fire hair. We got 4 minutes left.
Is
so
that
so
velvet?
Oh, go ahead. Get as, get as nerdy as possible you can in 30 seconds.
I'm going to try. Well, cameras all typically function the same way, but in order to make stuff look good, you have to light it correctly.
Right.
So lights you're seeing. Where's the motivated light? What are the practical things you're going to put in the scene to make it feel like the motivated light is coming from this light that doesn't emit that much light? What emotion am I conveying when I'm lighting the scene? So,
my man is talking with his hands a lot right now.
I am. I'm sorry. But it's exciting because, you know, I want to transition mainly into, like, commercial stuff, doing stuff with, like, much bigger budgets. And I feel like if I take myself seriously, then, you know, the opportunities will come.
So that leads kind of to my last question, perfectly set up. So in these different venues and these different companies and agencies that own these venues and these jobs that you're doing, what are some of the networking skills or, like, insights, lessons, or bars that you can share in terms of how niggas are doing it wrong or what are they doing? What are they on but they need to double down on more? Like, what has worked for you that could possibly work for other people?
A couple things. One, I always remember what you told me, Matt. Something that I actually think about every single day. It's like, if you show love, you'll never go out of business. And I do a lot of free stuff. And it has gotten me opportunities that I couldn't even imagine. Like, I was just in Cancun filming a vlog for a former NBA player. I'm on the floor at a Mystics Finals game working for Kevin Durant's AAU team, building a relationship with his dad. Like, this is all coming from, hey, I know I can fill this void with my talent, so why don't you work with me? So there's that thing. But also being confident and walking into a room with, you know, your back straight and your head held high, that really goes a long way. Mm. Especially if you have a camera in your hand. If you look like you're supposed to be there, people are going to treat you different.
Yeah, I hate networking, and I prefer mutually beneficial situations.
Yes.
Come into this circumstance with whoever I'm with something that's going to add value to them directly.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm not going to give you words and a business card because everybody has that.
Right.
Right.
Another thing is when you first get started, at least for camera stuff, don't focus on what you don't have and make use of what you do have.
Oh, okay.
Because with cameras, everyone is concerned about... I mean, having a more expensive camera is definitely helpful because of megapixels and shit like that. But you can do a lot with what you have. So just learn the basics. Learn lighting. Learn the little nuances that go into making a film or making a picture look good. And you can use whatever you have to create the revenue to get you the stuff that you want.
Word. So we're running out of time. So I know you listen to the show. We're going to dive into our tool of the trade segment.
Tools of the trade.
Like that. See, we create shit on the fly, bro. Hey, so we want you to start off. So just mention your social media platforms that people can follow to keep up with you. And also a tool of the trade that's getting you through a growth period right now, whether that be something tangible like a camera or lens, you know, something physical or something intangible like faith, love, and some of those things, or a combination of the two.
That's cute.
Good. Well, name of my platform is Free Alexander. My actual name is Ryan Gordon. So Free Alexander on Instagram, Twitter.
That was funny.
Twitter is It's Free Alex. I have three followers on Twitter, which is good.
Hey, young, that's all three.
Tool of the trade would definitely be faith. I'm glad you said that. Really not being afraid to take a step can open up so much. You figure out what you don't know and get excited about that and go learn more every time you decide to do something you've never done before. So
it's valid. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, man.
Backpack Matt on Twitter, Mr. Backpack on IG.
There it is.
Yeah, it's a Southeast breakfast, man.
Oh, man.
Double dosed on that shit.
Ran into lunch.
Pardon me. My tool of the trade for the day is a highlighter, man.
A highlighter.
It's always good to kind of circle back on things and insights, man. I like to dive into a lot of reading. I'm in a growth learning period myself. So I like to read physical books, audio books, man. So yeah, bro. Get on constantly on my grind. 24/7.
What's that, a 600-pager?
900.
That's 900
pages. Right here.
This is my third 900-page book of the year.
Just watch a video, bro.
I do those too. Yeah, so check me out.
Go ahead, Tom.
It's Thomas the Great, a.k.a. the Facilitator, a.k.a. everybody's favorite Ghanaian. My tool of the trade is...
Proceed.
Y'all are a trip.
I like how this all coalesced.
I saw that.
Okay. I like how this all
coalesced, man.
So my tool of the trade has been faith, love, and patience.
You have a tool kit. I like that.
Yeah, that's a tool kit.
That's good.
Faith,
multiple tools.
Faith, need a tool kit. Because, you know, the path that I'm going on for myself is not really... I don't know where I'm going sometimes. I just have to kind of walk with it. Walk with confidence.
Walk with it.
Go ahead. You need to bring back the music selections.
Yeah, we do, man.
The patience element is kind of built on now, like, you know, I'm handling a lot, and I just have to have patience with myself, patience with those around me, and just patience altogether. Because, you know, sometimes you're gonna hear things you don't want to hear, but you have to be patient enough to hear it out.
That's a bar.
And love, because I mean, it's pushing me through right now.
That's what's up, man.
Brought a smile to everybody's face.
Yeah, you did, bro. It's your boy BMO Brown. Follow me on all social media platforms at BMO Brown. M.O. Brown, sorry for being late for everybody. This week's tool of the trade is, that's right, you guessed it, Urbane, baby. Urbane, we got a new gallery coming up.
See, I was waiting, bro. Talk that shit.
We got a new gallery coming up. Look, I'm just going to come talk about it. It's a secret location, secret password, urbane.eventbrite.com. You deserve to be entertained better. You are worth more than happy hour. You are not basic. Therefore, the way that you experience art should not be basic. If you're brave enough, try it out. All right?
I'm going to.
Until then, next week, you can follow us. Or until then, shit.
Hey,
what am I trying to say, man?
Hey, follow all the Fly Kids.
Oh, yeah, Twitter, yeah, yeah. Man. Geronimo!
At Geronimo Knows Too.
On everything.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to say, to piggyback on what you said about your event, Urbane. I really like what you said in the promo on your Instagram page.
What'd I say?
You said, You are not basic, so why should the way you experience art be basic? Let the kids stand in lines and crowd dirty shelves for diluted wine coolers.
That's right, baby.
Urbane cultivates the sophisticated. So as y'all know, I'm all about moments of good taste for the cool, calm, and connected. Mm-hmm. So I definitely really appreciated you including that type of language in your promotion.
I appreciate
that's all I got. My tools of the trade.
I feel coalesced.
I
feel coalesced.
My tools of the trade are just finding all the legitimately dope, fly, cool shit that a lot of people sometimes overlook, and bringing it to light so that everybody can know and be hip.
Yes, sir.
Elise, any words?
My tool of the trade is patience. Thank you for having me, even though it was the last 10 minutes.
It's all good, man. Nobody knew that. But hey, that's all right. Hey, so we're wrapping up. Hey, it's always a blessing to be here at Full Service Radio.
That's right.
Usually Jack and Alexia are in the show, but shout out Jamal Gray.
Shout out Jamal. What's up, baby?
Engineer for us. Late Bloom. Late Bloom Wednesdays at 7 p.m. if I'm correct on that. So that's check that out.
Full Service Radio, this is Full Services UPN Wednesdays.
Facts.
Amen.
Blackout.
Blackout.
Yeah. Nigga, showed up late and everything. All right, that's a wrap. Thank you. That's a wrap. That's a wrap.